My name is Gary Urquhart. I'm the chief of the Immunization Information System Support Branch at CDC, and I'm going to be the moderator for this afternoon's session on interagency cooperation to build the capacity of immunization information systems. Today we have a couple of great speakers. One, a colleague from CMS, from Medicaid and Medicare Services, Jessica Kahn. Another, a director of health or commissioner of health from Wyoming, Dr. Brent Sherrod. He's going to provide a state perspective. So we're going to hold the questions until the end of the session to make sure everybody has enough time to deliver their presentation. And then I have the I'm told I have the honor of giving you some closing housekeeping activities and all of those things that I'm supposed to read at the end. So without any delay, I'd like to introduce Jessica Kahn. At the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Jessica Kahn currently serves as a technical director for health IT in the Center for Medicaid CHIP Survey and Certification. In her role, she contributes to HITE policy development, drafting regulations and guidance, federal health IT coordination, and oversight of states' implementation of the Medicaid EHR incentive program. She also serves as the project officer for HIT-focused Medicaid transformation grants and is the CMS lead for the CHRPA-funded project to develop a model pediatric EHR format in partnership with AHRQ. Jessica has been working in the healthcare and federal or state government for over 17 years, starting out as a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa. Please welcome Jessica Kahn.
Hello. How's everyone? Did you guys get that little chocolate toffee thing at the break? Wasn't that amazing? If you didn't, you lost out. That was almost worth the drive from Baltimore right there, I'm just saying. Okay, so today I'm going to talk from the Medicaid perspective about the work we're doing in collaboration with public health, both at the federal level with CDC and some examples about what we're seeing or what we'd like to see more of at the state level. And then my colleague is going to give you a very specific state example that I think will highlight some of these issues pretty effectively. So now, aha. So sometimes partnership is born out of personalities and people getting along, and then sometimes there's these lovely statutory requirements that force people to play nicely in the sandbox, whether they ever did before or not. So I won't say that that's the situation that we're in now, but changing times create new needs. And so now some people who maybe collaborated less often in the past are collaborating more and have more reason to. And that's really actually pretty exciting because all along we've had fairly much the same goals. So on the public health side, this little thing called meaningful use has really increased the demand for immunization registry services. You didn't realize that you were soon to be the rock star of public health in your state, but you know, you pretty much are when you're standing up against electronic lab reporting and syndromic surveillance. You guys now are looking like the PhD students compared to everyone else. And that means that what you were doing, even aside from that, given the CDC shared goals around health IT adoption, is going to require some more upgrades of the IT side, which of course costs money. And now there's urgency because now people have this project where they need to make certain thresholds and be able to demonstrate things, and the data that comes in and the quality of that data now has this new urgency. And we knew all along that there was a compelling need to do it in a standardized and timely way just for clinical care, right, just for improved immunization. But now there are these people who are like, you know, I want my check on top of the immunization, please. So there's really an extra sense of urgency. And guess what? There's probably not a whole new staff at your fingertips to deal with all of this new influx. Now, on the Medicaid side, there's an increased need for the access to the immunization registry by Medicaid and Medicare providers, of course, so that they can transmit or test the transmission of their data. And so we're starting to see funding requests to CMS that might include some immunization registry enhancements or upgrades, which they really can't send in to us without you, one would think. And they're actually going to be a customer of the immunization registry for more than just data, because This would be a way for the states and for CMS to actually verify who sent this data to you for meaningful use, rather than going to each provider and knocking on the door and saying, hey, did you do this? Now the immunization registry can be a one-stop shop to help them with their oversight. So there's some new needs on both sides. And of course, that means there's new opportunities and challenges. So availability of resources. There is actually some money here for upgrades in a couple different buckets that I'm going to talk about. And you know, you have your statutory provider database, the statutory providers, people who always had to report to you one way or the other. But now there's this really huge group of providers who want to report to you, some of whom may not even have been in your mandate, but now they really want to do it. So this is like H1N1 on steroids in over 10 years. So see, this is why they put me on after the chocolate, because everybody's still kind of like high, so I can be a little depressing. this is now about helping providers be able to achieve the immunization component of meaningful use, as well as all the merits that immunization registries and reporting have on their own. So you're going to have more robust data, and Medicaid wants access to that data also to look at quality trends and make sure that they have the coverage and they can provide better care. So there's a lot of really exciting opportunities. On the flip side, there are some state regulations, heck, some state politics, some state personalities who might impede interagency data exchange and data sharing that need to be overcome. And this whole dance around, we'll give you the money, but you're still in charge of it, and who governs it, and who owns it, that's still a little complex, and I'm going to talk more about some suggestions we have about that. There are some false perceptions about the meaningful use requirements to this. You know, even now, I have some colleagues here from ASTO and from ONC and, of course, from CDC. We all still get lots of questions about people who clearly still do not understand what's required and what's not. So I'm going to clarify that just a little bit, just in case. Because I know no one in this room is one of those people who doesn't understand it perfectly, right? You guys all get it 100%. But I'll just, you humor me. I'll go over it a little bit. And then there's this idea of less than optimal utility by providers. So are they using it? Are they using it effectively? Are they using it the way you want to use it? And I did mention the pressure-filled timeline, right? So on the Medicaid side, since that's where I work, we have two buckets of money, which each come with their different set of marionette strings. So first I'll talk about the MMIS bucket, which has already been around for a long time, and some states have already tapped into this for immunization registry money. So for this, the immunization registry's IT part, not the policy part, the IT system part, needs to be considered part of the Medicaid management information systems components. So part of the componentry. So if I were up here talking about this maybe 5-10 years ago, I would be thinking about this is Medicaid's boxes and wires, and your stuff would have to be part of Medicaid's boxes and wires. But now we're really thinking about enterprise architecture and enterprise IT. And so we're thinking that the Medicaid Management Information System has multiple components and multiple parts that work together, and they don't all have to sit in the same black box, but they all fit together in an interoperable way to help support the Medicaid program, which is our way of saying you can be part but not be subsumed. It needs to be part so that we can help fund it and see what its relevance is to bring our data in, but it doesn't have to be, for example, procured under one system. It can be a module and something that we can attach on, so you can still get best-in-breed kind of immunization registry components. 90% match for design and development, 90 cents on the dollar. That's probably the sweetest federal match we have, and it's available in both buckets, so don't let that immediately sway you, because it's the same on both sides of the chart there. So 90% match for design and development, and then 75% ongoing for operations. And this isn't part of some legislation that's going to expire. It's not a grant. This is ongoing. So this is something really to be thinking about if you're looking for an ongoing, non-grant funded. I mean, how many of you, when you go back to your state legislatures and you ask them for money, or you tell them you want to apply for something, isn't that the question they always ask you? Is like, what happens when this money's gone? And how are you going to pay for this once that's gone? Well, 75% for operations, ongoing. And that's a big deal. So we have a letter from 2000, which frankly probably needs a little dusting off and updating, but it was our foray back in the time whenever the MMIS was just one box.
that talked about how we could partner with immunization registries. So we're trying to slowly update that guidance at the lightning speed that I mentioned on my first slide. So a good example, though, of a state that has overcome this, and I don't know why it says Wisconsin 4, other than, you know, one of my kids probably bumped my elbow while I was typing this yesterday. But one good example of this is Wisconsin. So Wisconsin braved the MMIS world back when it was still kind of complex and there were many hoops, and they've been using MMIS money to help support their immunization registry for a number of years and very successfully. So it can be done, and we have some others that we're working with that I'll mention in a moment. So then there's the ARRA money, the stimulus money, the high-tech money. No matter what you call it, it's all under Medicaid. It's related to the EHR incentive program. So at most, it's probably going to go through 2022, maybe 2023 if we make it a stretch. So it's not forever money. It really is focused on design, development, enhancements, upgrades, and out. It's not meant to be this ongoing operations. And it has to be tied to the EHR incentive program, which is fairly easy now that I told you that you're the rock stars of meaningful use in public health and everybody wants in. So it's pretty clear how you can make that connection. But cost allocation is essential because part of the deal around high tech is that meaningful use is not just Medicaid, right? You have Medicare providers probably already at your doorstep. So there are other providers, other payers who use the immunization registry. Your laws are payer neutral, right? If you're a provider, you give immunizations within a certain age range, certain kinds, you have to report. You know, you don't really care who paid that claim. So the cost allocation is important when it comes to the high-tech money because, and it's to some extent as well for MMIS, but more so for high-tech, so that Medicaid isn't shouldering all the cost burden. And Texas and Tennessee have proposed something under high-tech for this, and I'll be shooting it over to Gary and Dan for their input on those strategies here very soon. So they've actually submitted funding requests. This is Texas and Tennessee Medicaid to use some of our money to upgrade their immunization registries with high-tech money. So that's like late-breaking. All right. So let's talk about this understanding of roles. I think this goes either way, but in particular, if you're going for the MMIS bucket, so where those boxes and wires reside doesn't have to be where the data governance resides. That can be a shared governance model. It doesn't have to dictate specifically data access and management. That can be negotiated, and that should be clear based on state rules, based on policy. And budget and policy decision making isn't always only in the purview of those who pay for the IT system, right? This is a system that enables your program. Right? It's not that your program is the system. Would you agree with that? There's a lot more to an immunization registry than just the data, the system that you use to bring in the data. So we're only talking about that system piece. So how to negotiate what you need out of the system piece, but still, you know, standing alone on your own decision-making authority is pretty important. So we suggest that you don't leave it up to politics or personalities, but that you actually codify those roles and responsibilities in, I really don't care what you call it, an interagency agreement, a memorandum of understanding, an agreement in principle. You know, we're not going to be overly bureaucratic, but just have some piece of paper where both of you have your official state names on it, and it's something that's more than just, you know, Gary and I get along, so we're going to do this together, but then when we both go someplace else, it doesn't work that way anymore. And so an example of one state that is at that point and has very graciously allowed CDC and CMS to meddle and help them draft this as Arkansas. And so they have a final IAA, and they're putting it out there, and it's between their two agencies, and we will share it with other states to say, this is pretty good examples of roles and responsibilities, and if you were going to try and partner with Medicaid one way or the other, whichever bucket of money, you might want to consider having some agreement like this and having it be recent, because some of the stuff that had to do with before high tech and before the all the needs that you have now might not actually fully express everything that you want to do. So put it in writing. There you go. So handling the meaningful use workload. So I was talking mostly about supporting the IT system and the upgrades around that, but really, I mean, how many of you are just stressed by the concept of all these providers who want to work with your system, want to know what to do, want to test with you, and you have to communicate with them? Anyone stressed? You're all still happy from your chocolate? Okay. So it's not just about the IT system, right? It's about this whole new workload and trying to deal with people, and they all are coming at you from different places. And so how do you handle this meaningful use workload? Well, frankly, I think you should share the pain. There you go. That's my message of today. Don't worry alone. If this is your problem, then it's also the Medicaid program's problem. It's also the state medical society's problem. It's also the hospital association's problem. It's the primary care association's problem. And frankly, it's the regional extension center's problem, because they all want to know what you can do, how you want it done, what's your gateway, what's your portal. And so they should spread your message. So you shouldn't be sitting there thinking, how am I going to upgrade my website to have my message out there? I mean, that's all great. But write your script and then say to all these people who want a piece of you, here's my script. This is what the immunization program can do and can't do. This is how we want it done. You know, don't be calling us. Here's our special email, or do call us, or this is the portal that we're using, or this is what our partners, and be really vocal about that and use those communication channels and think about where providers who are interested in HIT want their information. They're not reading the hard copy newspaper anymore, folks. You know, think about Twitter. Think about using the web. Think about using emailed out bulletins that come from medical societies. Go to them where they are and where they're getting their information. And let these other, and I put the State American Academy of Pediatrics chapter and the State HIMSS chapter, let these people broadcast your message for you. And, of course, be vocal in the Medicaid planning and implementation process. That's really important. Even though Medicaid's not really thinking about meaningful use until 2012, providers right now for Medicare do want to know what you can and can't do. So you can use all of these messages and all these partners to help get the word out now for Medicare providers, and then moving forward, do it for both Medicare and for Medicaid. So share the pain, let them carry your message, because otherwise, you know what, they're going to write your message for you. And as a matter of fact, we were talking before the presentation started about somebody who wrote, I don't know if she's going to make it a blog, but I don't know what she's going to make it, but it's essentially a little short one-page article about what's available for public health for meaningful use for providers in a certain state. And she sent it to us. Luckily, she sent it to us to, like, fact check it and to, like, look into it. But what if she didn't? And the reason she's doing it is because providers don't know where to go in that state for that information. So she's writing it and she's putting it out. So I think you might want to write your own message. You might want to have people put out your message and have them stick to it. And that should help with traffic to some extent, as well as perceptions. So back to that, I'll know your stuff and say it loud. Like a James Brown song. So on the immunization program side, you need to be able to say if your immunization registry can accept tests, right? They're testing the submission, and they can accept the electronic data if it's successful from all EHRs. Because if they do that, then that equals meaningful use, because that was a successful test plus follow-up. Is that the only pathway? No, but that's one. The second one is if your immunization registry can accept tests, but not electronic data from all EHRs, just from some, because that could still be you accepted the test, but it was unsuccessful and there's no follow-up, but they still met meaningful use, because there was still an immunization registry that could accept a test. The problem was it failed because they could only accept it from some EHRs and another. Or others, and you can't follow up, or you can't follow up now. So those are two ways, and you have to make sure people understand what's available to them. And if your immunization registry cannot either accept tests or accept immunization data from EHRs or from an HIE or an intermediary, whatever you're using at this point, then that's not an option for providers for meaningful use. It's not. And you need to tell them that so that providers in that state will know that all they have left to them really is syndromic surveillance, or if they're hospitals, there's also electronic labs. So they need to know what their option is. And if you wanted to be really nice, you might say what your plans were to fix number three, if that's where you are, or even number two. So have your timeline. Like, we don't have it now, but we expect to have it by January of 2012 or by whenever, because Gary here is going to give us more grants, and we'll get it all fixed and ready. Right, Gary? Yeah. Say your timeline, because you know what? There are people who will say, oh, that's what they say now, but I'm going to call you again next week, and then I'm going to call you next week, and then I'm going to call you again next week, because we get those people at CMS who call us, every week with the same question to see what's changed. So put your timeline out there in that message that you're saying. Say, these are the ways you can reach meaningful use, and this is what we can and can't do, and this is the way we're going to do it. And if you have third-party intermediaries, people who are acting as your portal or your gateway, make sure that people know who they are. There are some states that are using health information exchange organizations to help bring that data into public health. People need to know who that is and how they can get answers to their questions for those also. Oh, see, I'm ahead of myself. So be clear in your message, even though I'm not. What's your process, and what are your gateways? What's your timeline for enhancements? And then, I talk about Medicaid, and every once in a while, when I'm in a good mood, I might mention Medicare, because really most of the time they only talk about themselves and they don't talk about us. But today I'm going to be nice. I'm going to talk about Medicare. So over 24,000 Medicare-eligible professionals have already registered. 24,000. That's a lot of people who are getting ready to attest meaningful use. That means that they were assessing what they thought are their public health options in their state, and they're deciding whether or not they can do which one or the other, and they're going to come back and attest to CMS starting on April 18th. Did everybody know that? CMS is accepting Medicare attestation for meaningful use starting April 18th. Late breaking news went out on Friday. So that's a lot of people already, and the traffic's just going to increase now that they know attestation is ready. Some people are going to start registering at the same time. So this is just going to ramp up. So the window that you have to be clear on your messaging and to work with your partners is and avoid the landslide that's coming at you instead of getting ahead of it is really getting very, very short. I told you I'd be depressing. Steps to success. So we really want to see more collaboration with Medicaid and public health, and we want to be able to give the specific examples of where this is done well. So I told you Wisconsin's doing interesting things with their MMIS money, Arkansas is reworking their MOU, Texas and Tennessee are proposing to us the ways that they can work together around high tech. We'll see what gets approved. We're going to, at CMS's side, start harvesting some of these best practices and putting them out and sharing them with states in any way that we can, whether it's through CDC sending it out on their listserv or others, so you can get concrete examples. So you'll know who's your peer to call. Like, okay, so I just said Wisconsin, but you have to know who's the person in Wisconsin to call to get an exact copy of what they did and how they're doing it and what works. So we're going to make that available to you. And we might even give some prizes for best Medicaid and public health collaboration. Not like enhanced match or anything, but maybe like, a certificate and more of those little chocolate bars. Who knows? We're cheap. So we want to see the state Medicaid health IT plans start to address public health infrastructure. So on the Medicaid side, we know that they were only thinking about adopt, implement, and upgrading of EHRs this year. But in order to start thinking about meaningful use for next year, their plans need to start to reflect those requests by June, July. I mean, it takes a while. They can't just flip a switch and have this our infrastructure with you up and ready. So starting this summer, if it's not in their plans, we're going to ask them. We're going to say, this doesn't clearly express what the capacity is in your state. How many providers have already been able to do the test from the Medicare side? What's your time frame? So if you don't hear from them now, you will after we kick their plans back and say, go talk to public health. And we want to see joint marketing of the immunization registries to the provider groups. Medicaid and Medicare are out there talking to providers about what they're doing, so they can be extra marketers for you about what they should and shouldn't do for immunization registries. So this is the actual take-home message, other than the be scared, be very scared, and share the pain. It's this new era of partnership that we're talking about that allows public health very specifically to retain ownership of its own programs and its own policies and its own data, but with this expanded perception or expanded definition of the Medicaid enterprise. And by that, I mean the Medicaid IT enterprise. So that's important. So if you were afraid to go talk to them before because you thought if they owned the system, they would take your program out from under you, go back and tell them just that, no, play nicely. So I'm going to, this is our website. It has tons of materials on it. So if I went really fast and you're still not sure what I was talking about when it comes to the meaningful use side or any of that, you can go and look on the website. In addition, there's an email listserv you can sign up. So every time that website is updated, like with the breaking news, Medicare attestation, April 18th, or new FAQs are posted, or new tools and those kinds of things, you'll get an email so you don't have to wait and check it to see what's updated. It'll send it to you.